Okay, let me introduce our guest speaker today. I'm honored to introduce my fellow 1989 classmate, and I have a guest from 1989. We have to have a picture later. Tammy Hyde is with the West Kentucky Workforce Board. She has 25 years of experience in workforce development, program coordination, and community engagement. Today, she'll be talking about their most recent Delta Regional Authority grant and the opportunities for the citizens of our region. Tammy, it's all you. Thanks for being here.
Good afternoon. I know several of you in here. I appreciate you inviting me to talk about this. In our local area, we cover the 17 far most western counties of Kentucky. So we start like Hopkins, Muhlenberg, Todd County, and go all the way to the rivers of Fulton County, Hickman, and that type thing. So Trigg County is a part of who we serve and what we do, and we are very honored to do that and always glad to help our community in any way we can. We were very fortunate that we were able to apply for a non-federal funded grant, which allows us some different types of flexibility in the people that we serve. Our normal federal grants have a lot of different guidelines and restrictions on who we can serve and what that looks like. And with this Delta Regional Authority grant, it allows us to open it up to individuals who are still underemployed, but underemployed at a different level than a poverty level or that type thing. So it allows us to provide training opportunities for individuals who might be graduating high school who didn't get scholarships for a short-term training, such as lineman CDL training or some type of welding training. We can also do what's called on-the-job training. We've worked with Wabash here in Trigg County, and we've put several individuals there to do on-the-job training, and that's proved to be successful, and they maintain their job at the end of it. We pay a portion, and the employer pays a portion of the salary for what they're getting. They get benefits on day one, so it stimulates your economy and keeps your people in your local area. What we like to do is train the individuals and help them find jobs locally so that it gives back to their community and their area for what they are doing. This grant allows us to train a different population of people than what we normally can be able to do. So we are very fortunate to be able to do that. I'm glad to answer any questions that you have. We still have our normal federally funded grants, and then we also have a state legislative grant that wasn't on my list to talk about, but since I know that we have the funding coming, we spent all of our money for the last 2 years, which equated to a little over $1 million for a 2-year period. We're not sure exactly how much our portion is going to be for the next 2 years that starts in July 1, but it's specifically for individuals that are 18 to 24 year old, and we can cover short-term training, on-the-job training contracts, those types of things for anyone who has graduated high school, who's looking for that next step, who needs that extra piece of encouragement, who doesn't have the money or the right resources to get them where they want to be. We can do creative thinking and help them do something different outside of the box and put them back onto a pathway to help them be sustainable and stay in the county if they want to. If their option is to move, then you know we understand that as well, but we do encourage them to stay as local as they can in our community. And so we are very fortunate and thankful to our legislatures for allowing us that opportunity again for the next 2 years to be able to do that grant as well. We have a website. It's WKWB Work, and you can go on there and see about our grants and what we're doing and those types of things. And we're glad to help and assist in anything that we can do. We do participate in the job fair, the career job fair that was held at the school a couple of weeks ago for the high school juniors and seniors, and then it was open to the public that afternoon. So we participate and partner with the chamber on that, and we partner with the chamber and economic development on other things that they do locally, and we are very glad to be able to do that, and we'll continue participating in that and be glad to help in any way that we can. Does anybody have any questions, or can I explain it a little differently for you to help? Yes, sir.
Do y'all work with the high school in terms of preceptorships, in terms of like the welding program at the community college?
We work with the community college, and we can serve individuals. So we don't work directly with the high schools because we are limited on in-school youth funding and how we can spend that money. But we work with our community colleges, and they refer to us for individuals who are graduating high school and then coming to them and saying, this is what I'm interested in. They do like a reverse referral back to us, and we can help with the tuition for that.
If a student is wanting to get certified in welding, and they've taken, I know next year our students are going to be eligible to take some dual credit. And so let's say that they get half of the credits that they need to be certified welder, and then they determine to go to the community college. Our club helps with that endeavor, but if y'all would pay, we'd rather that. Do y'all kick in on that?
We can.
Like what you're describing.
Yes, absolutely, we can. And we're limited on the time frame of it. So we typically do short-term training. So normally if it's welding, it is a shorter-term training. We can do up to a year usually, depending on how our grant funding's going and what that looks like. And these grants that we have are two-year grants. So we know for the next 2 years we could do that. So if we had someone graduating now that was interested and it was going to take them 2 years, then we could do that and that wouldn't be a problem. Next year, we'll have a year left of that life of the grant. And unless we know that we'll have more funding coming, we wouldn't want to commit ourselves for a full 2 years, but we could say, yes, we could help you do this much of it.
So does the student try to access those resources through the community college or through PAD, or exactly where would they look to get the information as to how they tie into those funds?
They can access through the community colleges, or they can go to our local career center, and it's there in Hopkinsville on Riverfront Drive, and there's someone there who can assist them as well and help them with their tuition and training, and we pay books, fees, we pay the whole enchilada there.
Okay.
So we try to help whoever we can and do whatever they are looking to do. Now we are limited on funding, so it's kind of a first come, first serve basis. And one of the things about this Delta Regional Authority money is we can help individuals like at the school system who are employees of the school system, who are instructional assistants or custodial or something like that, who maybe didn't finish a degree and they're looking to finish so that they can be a teacher or move to a next level of something. We can help assist and pay for some of that, whereas we can't do that with our federally funded money. So that's an option.
Nate might be interested in.
Yeah. So, and I'd be glad to come and talk with him. That's not a problem at all. We have a couple of schools who have an interest in this, and we are working with them to make some things happen. Now, we can't pay for master's degree, rank one, those types of things. The goal for our money, no matter who we're helping, what age population we're helping, is to get them back to a sustainable wage so that they can take care of themselves, their families, and what that looks like.
So would that go across all industries? Let's say that you had somebody that was working in the hospital in a mm-hmm. lower position.
Yes, ma'am.
They could use that and apply and use that for nursing or
yes,
for
ma'am.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Same with accounting, that kind of thing.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
But you all work with Wabash, paying half and half. Does Wabash just hire who they want to, or do you all have to agree on who they hire?
We agree on who they hire. So they typically bring the person in and they say, here's our five people we're looking to hire. Can you talk with them, see if they're eligible for your program? What does that look like? Now, obviously, if we have someone who's making $70,000, $80,000 somewhere and they're ready to maybe do something different, they're on the fence of what they're doing, that might not be someone we serve, as opposed to someone who's making, you know, $12, $15 an hour somewhere. Mm-hmm. Then this gives them an opportunity to get benefits and have a higher paying job and what that might look like. So we do the eligibility piece on our end, but they say, here's the five people. Now, sometimes there have been situations where we tell them, hey, we've got this two or three people who have these credentials and we feel like they would be a good fit for you. They'll interview them and say, yes, we think that they will be a good fit for us. We don't tell an employer who they have to hire, that we're not in the business of that by any means. We want the employer and the person they're hiring to be a fit for one another and what that looks like.
So do y'all keep track of, say y'all put someone in a system and say they get, you know, their certificate and they don't work there very long and they go somewhere else? Do y'all keep track of them?
Yes, sir, we do. We follow them for a year after they finish our program to see if they stayed where we put them, if they didn't, why they left, where they went, and what's going on with that. Did they leave for reasons out of their control, or did they leave because now they have this credential and they're making more money someplace else? What does that look like? And so we do follow them for a year after they finish our program.
You may have already said this, but what all counties do y'all serve this grant? Where does it go?
Yeah, so it serves 17 counties. So I got my counties like that, but the Purchase counties I'm a little shady on. So we cover Trigg, Todd, Christian, Lyon, Muhlenberg, Hopkins, Crittenden, Livingston, Caldwell. Those are the Pennyroyal counties. And then in the Purchase counties, we cover Marshall, Callaway, Ballard, McCracken, Carlisle. I'm missing a couple. Hickman, Fulton, and there's one more that in Graves. So yeah, we cover everything as far west as you go. And this grant applies to all 17 of those counties. And we do try to spread that so that we're serving different people in different counties and that it's not all concentrated. Like Christian, Hopkins, and McCracken County are our higher populated counties, but we try not to concentrate all of our money in those three counties. We try to do a spread so that everybody benefits from it. And we're seeing that right now. We have several on-the-job training contracts with Par4 Plastics in Crittenden County, and that's proved to be very successful. We've got lots in Christian County as well. Like I said, we've worked with Wabash, and then we've worked with Treehouse in Princeton and Hydrogear. We've worked with them before too. So we try to spread it as best we can.
How much money are we talking about annually?
So the Delta Regional Authority grant is $500,000 annually for 2 years. So it's not a great lot of money, but it's primarily used specifically for putting people into training. It's a very minimal amount of money that goes into staff and administrative time pieces on that. We have tried to cut that out as best we can and use other funding sources for that and use this money specifically for training because we see the benefit for that.
Is it a new grant?
We got it. Technically, we got it in November, but it wasn't announced until January because of all of the legislative type things that were going on. They held everything because of the government shutdown and all of that, so they held it, and then they announced it in January. Yes, sir.
What kind of effect has the Big Beautiful Bill had on the workforce development area and PAD and the just the federal funding coming downhill versus not coming downhill?
So we received notification of our federal funding. So for workforce, it's called Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. We received money for youth, adults, and dislocated workers. Youth is 16 to 24 year olds. Adults is anything 18 and above. Dislocated workers are obviously those who have been laid off through no fault of their own and are out there looking for employment and what that might look like. And we are receiving an increase in funds for July 1. So it's not a large increase. It's like a 1 or 2% increase from what we have received in the last year. So, but we are thankful and appreciative for any type of increase that we see. We do know that they are looking at reauthorizing the bill. If they do, we don't know exactly what that looks like. Some have said that they're looking for putting at least 50% of the money into training, which is not a bad idea, except for the focus of how they do that, because it requires staff to put people into training and they're not wanting to include that piece of it with the training piece. So there'll be some challenges there if it passes the way that they're looking for it to pass. But if they continue down the pathway and different states have tried different things, and some of the states who have tried the 50% rule that they're looking at have said this is not successful or sustainable and we can't do it because you don't have the staff to help the individuals and give them what they are looking for and what they need. So,
what percentage of PADS budget is federal versus state?
I do not know. Because we have federal, state, and local funds. And that I am not on any type of budget committee, nor do I want to be.
You spoke earlier about a certain age group for a certain grant. Overall, what age does the Delta one, or the, generally, what ages do you work with?
So Delta is 18 and above.
Okay.
I could be a little flexible on that. If somebody graduates high school and they're 17, I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. I graduated high school at 17 because of how my birthday fell, you know. So don't turn 18 till July. So I'm not going to penalize someone because of when their birthday is. They've graduated high school. They've got that high school diploma. They want to go do this. Then we're going to help them. We're going to make that happen for them. I'm not going to stick on that age. But for someone in our adult funding grant or something like that, we can have a little bit of flexibility there as well. Our Putting Young Kentuckians to Work grant, it is the state legislative grant. It is specifically for 16 to 24 year olds. We've chosen to serve out of school youth in our local area that are 18 to 24 because the goal of that grant is to put people to work. So help them get a short-term credential and put them to work. So what does that employment look like for them? And so that's why we've chosen the route that we did there.
So essentially, there's no top end.
Right, no top, just in that one grant, there's a top end, but the others have no top end.
Okay.
Is there any preference to someone that's fought for our country?
Yes, sir. Yes, we do have veterans' priority of service, and we do honor that, and we do take that into consideration when we are looking at doing eligibility. That is one of the top questions that we ask is, are you a veteran? And then if you are a male, then you do have to register for selective service. But that is one of the top questions that we ask. Some of the other questions and placements that we look at as far as like with our adult funding is, what are you receiving SNAP benefits? Are you a single parent? What does that look like? What's your current income level? What does that look like? And those are other factors that help us in determining who is the most in need to serve first. But veterans get priority of service over everyone.
Do y'all give literature out to like VFW and American Legion and like that to let them know what's available like this?
We have before. I'm not sure what's out there right now. We've been in the process of redoing some of our brochures and flyers, so that is definitely something that we can add to our list of things to make sure that we do. Yes, sir.
So I love what y'all are doing, first off.
Thank you.
Are there any other organizations that y'all work with to maybe incentivize? You know, we've got a spec building that's been vacant for years. I know the EDC is working on it. But do y'all work, I guess, with or other organizations to help incentivize to bring jobs in the places?
So Tom Scholler is our business liaison, and he works with EDC on those types of projects and what that looks like. And they don't, I know that EDC is the primary person that helps bring the spec people in and what that looks like. So we don't specifically do that. We do listen, and we're at the table whenever they are talking with a new prospect, and we tell them about our workforce opportunities and what we can do. And then in some instances with a new company coming in, there are certain incentives through workforce development that we can provide for them for training opportunities, customized training. And I know the colleges sit at the table as well, and we work with them on what customized training might look like and who pays what pieces of it and how we can help.
Great, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I know that 17 counties is, it's large, it's a large area, but what skill sets are West Kentucky's workers lacking the most? What do you guys find yourselves training the most across the 17 different municipalities?
Right now, everybody wants to go to lineman training, CDL training, or something in healthcare. Those are the top three things. And we do have a state sector list, and there are five sectors on that list, which are healthcare, business, education, construction and transportation logistics. We also, because of the area that we serve, have agriculture and energy as part of our sector list as well, because we are very highly focused on that. And so those are the top sectors that we serve, and rarely do we have someone come in wanting something outside of one of those. If they do, we try to work with them and see what we can do to assist them, but we primarily serve in those top seven sectors.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We've paid quite a few dollars on sending people to Lyman School. Looks like we can send them to you first.
I've been talking with Denise Young. She's already on that.
Hey, I've already talked to Denise,
yeah.
And we got two people already. So one starts in June, one starts in August.
We do auto mechanics. You know, if someone wants to go to Nashville.
Oh, no, diesel. No. Mm-mm. No, Kentucky schools. We don't want to misguide anyone. That is never our intent, and we want people to go to training where they want to go to training and do what works best for them. What I can tell you about the Lyman Training School, because I just learned this myself a couple days ago, because we had a conversation with Madisonville Community College. My concern was the volume of people that we are putting in Lyman Training, and are all these people going to get jobs, and what does this look like? Because we have 9 in our program right now who are in lineman training that will graduate on Friday, and we're excited about that, but we're not hearing that they have jobs lined up for them. So what does this look like for them, and how's this going to work and whatnot? And they reassured me that they have employers and utility companies that come in to their training institution and talk with these individuals. Now, this I found very, very interesting. When they're talking with them, what they're looking for is, will these students come up to them and thank them for the lunch that they provided, thank them for the opportunity that they've been given to be there, and, you know, say thank you for coming and showing us how to do this, or telling us what you're looking for. And that has made a difference in whether they hire an individual over this individual in several instances, from what I understand. So I thought that was a very good piece of information, and I will share that with Ms. Young so she can share that with her students. And I shared it with all of our staff as well, because I think that's very important. If you have employers who are coming in saying, we want to hire you, who can make the best impression on them? So it might not be the person who can climb the fastest or hang the wire correctly the first time, or what that looks like. It's the person who's walked up to them and said, thank you, we appreciate your time. So that speaks volumes of what they're looking for. They want someone who's a team player. They want someone who will come in and say, I can do this job and I'm willing to learn from you. And that's what they're looking for. They have 10 weeks of training. Of this 10 weeks of training, they get a utility technician certification. They get a CDL license so that they can drive the utility trucks. It's not a Class A CDL, so they can't just go out and drive over the road or whatever that looks like. They'll have to have the next level to be able to do that. They get CPR training, and they get a forklift training, so that they have a flagger training. They get a flagger training, and that makes a difference to a lot of employers. Some of the employers have told them, if you can do 2 more weeks, which gives them 10 weeks of training as opposed to 8, then they're more marketable, and we will hire them as a second year apprentice as opposed to a first year apprentice. And that makes a difference for the student being hired in the amount of money that they're going to make and the duties that they'll be doing and what that looks like. So that was good information I just learned. So. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Or?
Do you have a success story?
I have a ton of success stories, Ashley. And I should have brought some with me, because I could have, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, do you have one that sticks out? Tammy and I used to work together, and I mean, I remember putting somebody to work at an insurance company that worked there for years. I worked for another company until they shut down. I mean, there are these kids that we put to work, I mean, work there for years on years. So, I mean, but do you have one that sticks out in your mind?
So we have a gentleman that we put into lineman training back last summer. And he finished his training, and Hickman Electric hired him immediately, and he has done great things for them since they have hired him. And they even wrote how appreciative they were of the training that he had received and what that did for him. So, you know, that's one that sticks out specifically.
We have a lineman in this county that I put through when I was working there that's still at Pinnerall Electric right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's been...
Yeah.
Yes. Every time he speaks to me and thanks me for what I did for him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I didn't do anything. You do the paperwork. I just... Hey, you.
but what you did for him was encourage him and give him an avenue that he didn't have or might not would have had. And you pushed him in the right direction and you said, you can do this and I'm going to help you get there. And that's what all of our career coaches at our centers do when they're working with these individuals is encourage them and show them that, yes, you can do this. We will help you. Here's your tools to success. It's a matter of how you use them as to how successful you actually are.
And I'll say, too, sorry, I'm just a little kudos here, but those career folks, I mean, they don't just, when you come in the office, get your paperwork and you're a number to them. Mm-hmm. They're texting you. They're, how's it going? Are you doing okay? I heard you didn't attend class last week. What happened? You know, so they're keeping up with them. They're not just...
Yeah, it's not a walk-in and we're going to give somebody some money for you to go to school. You have to do your part, too, as the participant. So you have to say, here's my information. Yes, I'm going to communicate with you. Here's what I have done. I did start my training. This is where I'm at. I do need this. Can you help me with this? Here's your resume. Let's help you make it look nice so that these individuals mm-hmm. will want to hire you and bring you on. And then now I have a few more tools that they can put in their toolbox to make sure that they engage with these employers whenever they walk in on this lineman training and say, my name's Tammy, how are you doing? Look them in the eye, shake their hand, make eye contact with them, talk to them, have a conversation with them, and then your name sticks in their mind. So who does that best and what does that look like? And that's where our career coaches come in and helping these individuals learn these things and give them the right tools to use during training and afterwards. So it's a very powerful program and it can work or it can not work. It's all about the time and effort that you're willing to put into it as the student and what you want out of it. Just like anything else we do in life. Do you want to be successful? Do you want to move to the next steps? What does that look like for you and your family? And how's that going to work for you? Do you want to make this amount of money or do you want to make this amount of money? You know, the sky's the limit. You can do whatever you want to do.
Any other questions? Thank you so much.
Thank you.